What's up, everybody? Hey, thank you so much for joining us for Church Online. We're actually starting a new series today called The GOAT, and it's about Jesus and how he is the greatest of all time. And we're going to look at some of the things in the Easter story, in Palm Sunday, and the events that surround Easter, and we're going to look at how Jesus was the greatest of all time. So if you've never heard the expression GOAT, you hear people talk about it pretty regularly as it relates to people being the best at their craft, the best athlete, the best musician, the best actor, or whatever the case is. And when they're building an argument for whoever they think is the greatest, sometimes they'll just call him the GOAT or her the GOAT. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how Jesus is literally and actually the greatest of all time. And there's not even a good argument against it. When you think about what it is that he did, the way that he demonstrated, there's the obvious stuff, the way that he demonstrated to us what love is, and the way that he poured out and sacrificed his life for us. That stuff obviously makes Jesus the GOAT. But there's some other less obvious stuff. There's some things that Jesus does that if you kind of gloss over it, if you go quickly, you probably wouldn't make that connection that this is something that's subtle that makes him so great. And so today we're actually going to start by looking at the story of Palm Sunday. And we're going to look at the events surrounding Palm Sunday and the passage that you find the story of Palm Sunday in. And we're going to look at one of those subtle things that Jesus does that makes him the GOAT. So we're going to dive right into this. And our first point, if you're taking notes, is called Noble Steed. Noble Steed. And that'll make sense here in just a little bit. So again, Palm Sunday, Jesus is making his big entrance, like the big debut. It's his coming out party. And so Jesus does this thing as the King of Kings, as the Son of God. He decides when he makes his entrance to ride into town on a donkey. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were the king, I would be riding into town on a Cadillac. Or in a Cadillac, or a Cadillac chariot, or something, right? Something a little more ostentatious and you know, got some pizzazz to it. But Jesus rides into town on a donkey. And I think there is something so fascinating about that that makes Jesus the GOAT. We're going to read the passage, and then we're going to look at some of the implications of this. So Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10 is where it's found. And this is what it says. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, again, about to make his entrance, they came to the towns of Bethpage and Bethany on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead, two of his disciples. He sent them ahead and gave them a task. And he said, go into that village over there, he told them. As soon as you enter it, you will see a young donkey tied there that no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. So he sends his two disciples, two of his disciples, to bring a donkey back to him. And then he does this. This is really clever, and it kind of makes me wonder. I think that Jesus had an incredible sense of humor, and I think this is one of those things that may or may not have demonstrated that. He said, if anyone asks, what are you doing? Just say, the Lord needs it, and we'll return it soon. So basically, they're going to steal a donkey, and if anybody asks what you're doing, the Lord needs this. We'll bring it back soon. So the next time I see a really nice car, I'm going to try that. I'm going to hop in it. Hopefully the keys are in it. And I'm going to take off. And if they ask what I'm doing, I'm going to be like, the Lord needs it. I'll bring it back soon. So the two disciples, they left and they found the colt standing in the street, tied outside the front door. As they were untying it, some bystanders demanded, what are you doing untying that colt? They said what Jesus had told them to say, and they were permitted to take it. It actually worked. So they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments over it. They made a makeshift saddle, and he sat on it. Many in the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others spread leafy branches they had cut in the fields. This is where we get the expression Palm Sunday, or the phrase Palm Sunday, because they're cutting these branches down, and they're covering and paving the road with their garments and the branches of palm leaves to make an entrance for Jesus. So Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord, blessings on the coming kingdom of our ancestor David, praise God in the highest. One translation says, Hosanna in the highest, which is the Lord is come. That's what that means. And so this is Jesus's, again, coming out party. This is his moment of revealing to the world that he is the King of Kings, the Son of God. And he rides into town on a donkey. I think it's really intentional. I think that Jesus didn't do things accidentally. I think he was very purposeful about what he did. And I think riding into town on a donkey was intentional. So here's what I take away from Jesus choosing to ride a donkey into town. It demonstrated that Jesus was the goat in humility. If you look at the implications of this, again, being a king, again, being the Son of God, and he could have done whatever it is that he wanted to do. Instead, he chose to demonstrate to the world that the things that you think matter may not actually matter. And if you're so interested in impressing people and appearing like you have this or you have that or you have it all together, you might just have it wrong. And so I think Jesus riding into town on the donkey demonstrates to us that he is the goat at humility. And so it kind of leads us to the title for the message and our second point simultaneously. It's called Goats and Donkeys. Goats and Donkeys. And so I think when you read the story, you find that Jesus was just not very concerned with impressing people. I think that if you find, if you look at the story and you wanted to see somebody that was in concerned or overwhelmed with the thought of impressing somebody, they definitely would not have been riding a donkey. Donkeys are stubborn. They're obstinate. They don't like to do what you want them to do. You have to fight them to control them to get them to do anything. And so you find the King of Kings riding into town on this obstinate, stubborn donkey, fighting and not cajoling with it, as opposed to this noble steed that would prance into town. He just wasn't concerned with what people thought. And so when you get to that place in your life where you're not interested or concerned with impressing people, to me, that is a sure sign that you're on the path to humility. So a king who is unsure of himself would probably have had to compensate in some way, right? So if you're not confident in who you are, if you're not sure of who it is that God has called you to be or made you to be, then you would compensate. You would compensate by getting, you know, a big, shiny black horse. Or in modern terms, you'd get a big, shiny black car or whatever it may be. And so Jesus, he just took a lesser route. And I think there's a method to it. I think there's a method to the madness. I think there is a principle in there for us. You find it other places in Scripture where Jesus' humility is expounded upon. It's reinforced in some of these verses. One of my favorites is Philippians chapter 2. Verses 5 through 8, it says this. And it's really interesting that it's talking about specifically humility in our relationships with each other. So it says this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Jesus Christ, or as Christ Jesus. In other words, think like Jesus thought, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Even though he was God, he could have done what he wanted to do. He didn't use or utilize or abuse that opportunity. It says, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So I think the next logical question to Jesus demonstrating a characteristic like this, to demonstrate to us what humility is, when somebody does something like that, you have to follow that up with questions, just like your kids do. Why? Like they ask why about everything. And so the reason that Jesus rode the donkey into town, it should spur in us questions. Well, why would he do something like that? And you kind of have to start with, well, it is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy, and you can get into all of the theology. But I think there's even more to it. I think there's more to the story. Again, I think Jesus did things intentionally and on purpose. And I think with this, there's a lesson in here for us about humility. Maybe what Jesus wants us to see through this is that we don't have to have the look, right? The look in this case would be, I'm going to ride into town on my big, shiny white or black noble stallion, right? And it, you know, kind of the charger, and it makes it a little, right? Or maybe it doesn't. And if you were concerned with all of that, this is what I think Jesus knows. I think Jesus knows if you're concerned with the external appearance, you're probably not concerned with the internal peace. If you're so concerned with pleasing people or aesthetically looking a certain way or appearing to have all of this stuff together, or materialism where you consume and you hoard and you gather until you have enough stuff to make you feel better about yourself, that's not the path to humility. And I think Jesus, in riding a donkey into town, kind of demonstrates to us that it's not about the appearance. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the look. It's not about the goods. Life is less about appearances and impressing people than we make it. Hello, social media. Right? Like we get on social media. I know you guys would never do this. I know that nobody here or anybody watching would ever, ever, ever get on social media and take 20 pictures to post one picture. Until you got like just the right angle or whatever it is that's the most clickable or likable so that you can impress people. And that's not what humility is. And so when you see that Jesus wasn't concerned with the external appearance, he was concerned with pleasing God. He was concerned with being who it is that God made him to be. That was the most important thing about him. And so that's what we need to take away from this story, is that what really matters is who you are to God, not what you look like, not what you have, not the stuff that you accumulate, not how you appear to people, not the way that you try to impress people. None of that stuff matters. What matters is who you are to God. So that's the first question, is why would Jesus do that? Why would he ride into town? And I think the answer is to demonstrate to us, to show us what humility looks like. And maybe we misunderstand what humility is sometimes. But the second question, again, kind of a linear thought here, if you're going in a progression of questioning, the next question would be, well, that's great, but how does it apply to me? I'm glad you asked, because I think there's a lesson in here for us. I think there's something that we can personally take away from this about humility, because I don't know about you, but I know and I believe that every single person on the face of the planet, any teaching, any lesson, any reminder about humility is a timely reminder, because I think it's something that we all probably struggle with to some degree. And if you don't struggle with humility, you struggle with its nemesis, which means that you struggle with humility. And its nemesis is, in whatever form you want to call it, is pride. On the opposite end of the spectrum of humility, you find pride. Now, pride isn't always what we think pride is, and we'll talk about that more in just a little bit. But pride, in my opinion, is the foundation for every other sin and every other struggle in your life. Pride is the beginning of any other struggle, sin, or temptation in your life. Let me give you an example. Like, we love to throw around words like entitlement and envy. And I think you get to a place of entitlement in your life when you think that you're good enough to deserve what somebody else has. So your entitlement is really just a result of your pride. And if you're struggling with pride, I believe there's a balance in life, right? As pride goes up, humility goes down. As humility goes up, pride goes down. So if you're struggling with pride, your humility is diminishing. It's waning, or that would be waxing. Is it waning or waxing? The moon and the crescents and all of those sorts of things. It's going down, okay? Your humility is going down if your pride is going up. And so I think that Jesus wants us just to think about humility. Again, it's just this subtle thing that he does that reminds us to be people who are humble. And again, so many other places in Scripture that reinforce this, that talk about humble yourself and be humble and all of these things that we should do as it relates to humility. So Jesus riding into town on a donkey kind of, again, reinforces that he was the goat, because he chose to do this to remind us who it is that we are and what it is that we should be doing with our lives. So I think Jesus' subtle gesture is just a reminder of the importance of humility. So at the other end of the spectrum of pride, you find humility. At the other end of the spectrum of humility, you find pride. Again, it's this balance. It's kind of a give and a take. If one takes, then the other one has to give. And so in our lives, I think that being aware of that, just remembering that Jesus, in this subtle demonstration of riding into town on a donkey, just wants us to remember, to be aware that it's a constant battle. It is a struggle. It's something that every human heart is confronted with on occasion, or for most of us, on the regular. It's something that we regularly have to contend with, is our pride. And Jesus, being the goat, being the greatest of all time, being somebody who cares about us so much that he would make himself look silly in the eyes of people who are watching, ride into town on a donkey to remind us, hey, humility matters. Be people who walk in humility. And so just for full disclosure, those are kind of the two questions. Why did Jesus do it? How does this apply to me? But I think it's important sometimes, I think we throw terms out and don't give a great deal of clarification around it. So what we're going to do is give some clarifiers, make some distinctions here as to what pride is and what humility is. And again, hopefully we can take it and do something with it. Pride is actually kind of tricky. When you first say pride, I think most of us would think pride in terms of arrogance or pompousness, or somebody, you know, they've got their chest stuck out and they just think that they're better than you. pride is actually way more complicated than that, way more complicated than just this kind of surface level understanding of what pride is. Pride can actually be, and this is counterintuitive, pride can actually be insecurity. Pride can actually be distrust of other people because you think that you can do it better than they can, so you won't trust them to be involved in your life or in the process. And so pride is very, very complicated. On the other hand, humility, the best definition I have ever heard of humility is this. And if you have not heard this, get out a pen and a piece of paper and write this down. Put it on a mirror that you're going to look at every day or put it on your refrigerator. It's something that has the power to change your life. Humility is this. It isn't thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less often. I think sometimes we confuse humility with this kind of sheepishness, like, oh, you would never actually have confidence because you're humble. And that's not what humility is. You don't think less of yourself. You don't diminish yourself. You don't take yourself and downgrade or degrade yourself because you're humble. You're very confident in who it is that you are and who it is that God has made you. You just think of yourself less often. You don't make everything and every situation and every relationship about you. That would be pride. On the other end, humility is, I can be engaged in a relationship and it doesn't have to be all about me because I'm very confident and comfortable with who it is that I am and who it is that God has made me. So pride, it can be this kind of overwhelming arrogance. It can be pompousness. It can be people who have a lot of bravado, right? They've got the look and they act a certain way and they try to intimidate and bully other people. That can be pride for sure. But pride can also be insecurity because, again, you make it more about yourself than you think more of yourself and you think about yourself too often. So when we're insecure, what we do is we take situations and circumstances and we say, oh, well, I'm not good enough to do that. I'm not good enough to be a part of that. And we're making the whole thing about ourselves, which is really just pride. So those are some clarifiers around what pride is. So what I want to do is I just want to close with having a time to really stop and think about this, to think about our lives. I think sometimes we kind of hear messages like this or we, you know, get our verse of the day and we gloss over it and we don't take time to internalize it. But when Jesus rode into town, rode into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, or what we celebrate as Palm Sunday, on a donkey, I think the message in there for us is that, hey, humility, it matters. And Jesus, the greatest of all time, demonstrating this for us is really important. Something that he would take time to tell us is really important in our life. So let's take some time this morning to let God examine our hearts. I love, you find so many places in Scripture where it talks about allowing God to penetrate our hearts and examine us and know what's going on inside of us. And I think if there are areas in your life that you have pride that have not been dealt with, man, allow God to deal with those issues in your life. Think about Jesus. Think about again, all of the things that obviously made him the greatest of all time, his love and his sacrifice and his mercy and his grace, but also his humility. Think about that. And if he walked in humility, he expects us to walk in humility. Are there some deep hidden beliefs in your heart that would keep you from believing that Jesus wants to be intimately involved in your life? Do you have some walls up in your life? Do you have some hardness in your heart that's keeping the greatest of all time, Jesus, from coming into your heart and coming into your life? This looks different for everybody, right? This may look for some because of pride, again, looking the brashness and the bravado. It may look like, oh, well, I don't need God. I don't need Jesus because I'm strong enough on my own. I've got it all together. I can get through whatever it is that I'm going through. And man, let me just tell you, I don't care how big you are, how strong you are, how smart you think you are, you will come to a place in your life where you're going to realize that you are not enough to make it through every situation. And so maybe your pride has kept you from allowing Jesus to come into your heart and to come into your life. And if that's where you're at, man, lay down your pride. Embrace humility. Allow God to help you to do things that you cannot do on your own. That's what the gospel is. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves. We could never save ourselves. We would never be good enough to pay the penalty for the debt of our sin. But Jesus did that for us. So embrace humility as you embrace Him. Now, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got people over here that would say, well, I'm too good. I don't need God. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have people that think because of the things that they've done in their life and the failures that they've had and the sins of their past, that God could never use them. God can never be involved in their life because of the things that they've done. And really, if you think about it, that's just pride too. It's an insecurity, thinking more of yourself, thinking about yourself too much and being so consumed with yourself that you don't think that God is strong enough and capable of using you in spite of all of the things that you've done. And if that's where you're at, if you don't think that God can use you, man, I would really challenge you and encourage you to just look at the people that Jesus has used. Look at the people that God has used all throughout history. They are broken, fallen people that God has used. So it doesn't, you are not what qualifies you. Jesus is what qualifies you and who qualifies you. So run into his arms this morning. Allow him, embrace humility this morning. And as you do, I promise, as you do that, I promise that God will do something new in your heart, especially in this Easter season. There's something so special about this time of the year as we're reminded about what Christianity is all about and what it is that we celebrate as followers of Jesus. So embrace humility. Embrace Jesus. Embrace the greatest of all time. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. God, for your incredible love. God, your mercy, the obvious stuff, the things that clearly demonstrate that you are the greatest of all time, that you who knew no sin became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. God, there is no argument, in my opinion, for that making you the greatest of all time. But I also love that you do the little things. I also love that we find these subtle notes and gestures that demonstrate your greatness. God, that you would be so confident in who it is that you are, that you would ride into town on a donkey, that you would be so confident in who you are, that you would not be concerned with the thoughts, the estimations and opinions of other people. You knew who you were. You knew what your task was, what your mission was, and you executed it fully. God, and I'm so thankful that you did that as a demonstration to us of what our lives is really about, what really actually matters in life. So God, I know that every heart in its own way struggles with pride. God, I pray that you would help us to overcome that pride by allowing you to do in our hearts what only you can do. And I know that you won't do it unless we ask you and we allow you. We have to open ourselves up to you to allow you to do that. So God, this morning we do that. We open up our hearts and we open up our lives and we say, do in our hearts whatever it is that you want to do. Anything that you want to do in our lives, Jesus, do it. Make us new. Make us whole. Make us more like you. In your incredible name we pray. And everyone said, amen.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Motion Church podcast today. If you'd like more information about our church, visit motionchurch.com. If you want to contribute financially to what God is doing here at Motion Church, you can do that by visiting motionchurch.com/giving. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.